There's a lot of talk about, in the media, about inflation, headline inflation with oil and food. Can you speak a little bit about how the FOMC talks about that inflation as a short-term one and so on?
Yeah, so I've talked about our, so the question was, inflation over the past year is probably is run considerably above 2%. I'll put some words in your mouth, but it's run considerably above 2% because, in large part, because of how fast gas prices have risen, and also in part because food prices have risen relatively rapidly. How does that movements in those kinds of prices influence FOMC decision making? So I've described our price stability mandate as being one that we're trying to keep headline inflation over some horizon. Our monetary policy doesn't work by we press a button and bang, inflation goes down tomorrow. It works over what Milton Friedman called long variable lags. So we try to look at the inflation outlook, how things are going to look like down the road, maybe a year, maybe 2 years even down the road. So what we view our mandate as being about headline inflation, that is all goods and services. The question is, what kinds of information do we have available right now to tell us about how that headline inflation is going to be moving over time? In general, you really, I think there can be some dispute about how you want to think about food prices and trying to make that prediction. But energy prices are just much too volatile and much too transitory to build into that. So I don't have the number right off the top of my head right now, but in the early part of this year, energy prices had risen about 20% over the course of the year because of oil going up in price. I did not expect energy prices to keep rising at 20% per year over the next 3 years. That means I cannot be using that as part of my predictive component for what's going to be happening to headline inflation over the next 3 years. So we're always about trying to figure, we call it underlying inflation, inflationary pressures. But basically what we're trying to do is measure, try to get a gauge of what's going to be going on with inflation in the next 3 to 4 years, and then trying to offset that accordingly with monetary policy. Question.
How do you think history is going to judge Alan Greenspan and his policies that kind of led up to the crises?
So this is a question about how I think history will judge Alan Greenspan. He had a very long term as Federal Reserve Chairman. It's always a mistake to try to write history too close to events. And the history is going to get written down the road. And my guess is that it'll be viewed as somewhat of a mixed bag. I mean, there'll be some good things and some bad things to point to. I don't think I can really go into more detail than that. Yeah.
In your conversations and your goals to limit inflation and raise employment, how are the events in Europe entering into the assumptions about what that impact will have on the United States inflationary rate and our unemployment numbers?
So the question is, when we talk about our dual mandate at the Federal Open Market Committee, how do we try to think about events in Europe and how that's going to be influencing things? I won't try to speak for the whole committee. I'll speak for myself on that dimension. So I try to divide the impact from Europe into two pieces. One is sort of the direct trade effect. We trade with Europe. If they have a downturn, that means there's less demand for our exports, and that would have an adverse effect on the U.S. economy. But that direct trade effect is pretty small. It's 10% of our trade, roughly speaking, is with Europe, and then there's that trade is only a small fraction of our GDP. So if you put all the numbers together, that trade effect, a recession in Europe would not have much consequences for my forecast of GDP. What is more alarming, I think, would be there's a bunch of financial market uncertainties in Europe. There's uncertainties about what's going to be happening, the value of sovereign debt in particular, to various countries. Level of uncertainty in financial markets, how does that translate into the United States? That can pose more of a threat to our economy. I think it would be a negative drag on inflation, it would force inflation downward, and it would force unemployment upward. I think that kind of shock there's no real tension in our mandates. We know how to respond to that. If we see that kind of some kind of thing is going to happen, the response to that is to provide more accommodation. So we have, as I described at the end of my speech, we have more tools available. We would the right response would be to respond to such an event by using those tools. To the extent that such a shock would create liquidity problems of the kind that we saw in late 2008, the Fed has the ability to initiate these broad-based kind of liquidity facilities that I described in my speech as well. That would require it's on a contingency basis, obviously.
You mentioned policy uncertainty. Would you care to comment on the relative importance of monetary policy uncertainty versus fiscal policy uncertainty right now?
Well, so the question is about the relative importance of fiscal policy uncertainty and monetary policy uncertainty and how that's affecting the economy. Fiscal policy is always a big deal. I mean, I think that monetary policy is important, but fiscal policy to me always seems more important in terms of the choices of taxes, in terms of the choice of spending that the government does. I think it's inevitably going to be true that fiscal policy uncertainty at any given moment in time is going to be more important than monetary policy uncertainty. With that said, the Federal Open Market Committee doesn't make judgments about fiscal policy. We make judgments about monetary policy, and we should try to control the level of uncertainty that we're generating for the economy as best we can. And I think the best way we can do that is by providing the kind of contingency plan for monetary policy that I described. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.